There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Warning.
Oh.
Today's episode involves demons.
Oh.
Even just listening to this episode may involve you getting demons.
Whoa!
Because demons apparently are a contagious disease. And you need to be very careful when listening to things about demons.
Demons!
Because if you are not too careful, and if you don't have your rosary close by and or inside of you,
ooh,
a demon might follow you home listening to this broadcast.
Take that rosary out. Have a good time. Welcome to Last Podcast on the Left, everyone. Ben hanging out with Henry and Marcus.
Hi.
Ooh, today's episode just in time for the spooky season of Halloween.
Demons.
We're talking demons. Specifically, we are talking about what took place in a wonderful land, only the most pure land of Gary, Indiana.
Oh, yes.
We're discussing the Demon House of Gary, Indiana.
I just don't understand because every demonologist is so incredibly scared of the thing that they are supposed to be highly trained against defending themselves. That's what they're supposed to be do. They're supposed to know demons,
buddy,
better than anybody else. And they're all like, demons? It's a bad business to be in. And it's like, you're the only, you're doing it. No one's asked you. There's no legacy. You didn't go to the Harvard of demon school.
It's like if the cat daddy was afraid of cats.
Well, exactly. We just don't know if he is or not. So let's get into it. The Demon House of Gary, Indiana.
Now, when it comes to stories of legitimate hauntings, there's certainly been a dearth of credible accounts in recent years. While one might think that cell phone videos and photos should have given us more proof of the paranormal, proof is still in short supply. Partly, I think, because of my pet electricity theory.
Well, he has a pet theory about electricity. It's not saying that pets are filled with electricity.
Absolutely not. No. Well, they are because they're alive, hopefully.
Yes. But anyway, we therefore mostly have to depend on stories just as we always have. And when it comes to stories of possession and hauntings in recent years, the best tale by far comes from the troubled industrial city of Gary, Indiana.
There has been obviously a number of modern hauntings that we will be covering over the next year or so, but this story really took the imagination of America by storm.
Because
this is one of those stories that has like what you would call like high level authoritative discussion of it, right? Like the idea of cops came and saw the demon and cops were like, I don't go in that house.
Don't go in that house.
Which is also not good. You're police officers. You should enter a home in Gary, Indiana. There's going to be violence in there.
Well, with a warrant.
Anytime. Free martial law.
It's kind of one of the problems, I think.
But also like stuff like there was a child protective services officer who saw some shit. There's a bunch of people that were involved, which gives this story an air of legitimacy that really does. It creeps people out.
Well, to push back a little bit on your electricity theory, Marcus, I don't think Gary has electricity. So I am not exactly sure if that would play a factor again in the Demon House of Gary, Indiana.
I'm just talking about in general, because I do believe that the reason why we have not had as many ghost sightings in the last 100 to 150 years is because of electricity in the air. The more electricity there is, the more the ghosts get zapped and get all fucked up. I'm being super clinical here.
Yeah, clinical. It's very exact.
Yeah, the ghosts get zapped and they get all fucked up, bro.
Guess what, Marcus? You're a demonologist now.
Yeah.
Because it is the world of the fan fiction of paranormal.
All right.
And we're carrying around these big electronic batteries everywhere we go. Less ghosts. That's all I'm saying.
I just believe that the phenomena changes shape according to what we believe is the current, like what we kind of achieve is like a godlike hierarchy. And now we view science as the full replacements of God, which is why we see aliens in sci-fi scenarios versus ghosts.
Yeah. Sounds like you guys are all Neil on deGrasse Tyson.
Fuck you. Fuck this shit.
You sound pretty stoned to me.
You got a demon inside of you?
Oh, God dang it.
Well, starting in November of 2011, a woman named Latoya Ammons claimed that she, her mother, and her three children were terrorized by a malevolent force that inhabited the one-story rental home they shared at 3860 Carolina Street. Mm. Famously, their tale was told in an extremely sensationalized documentary by Ghost Adventures host Zach Bagans entitled Demon House. But if we're being honest here, the doc is far more about Zach Bagans than it is about the haunting itself.
I'm going to defend Zach a little bit. My little brother, he truly believes in this stuff. And he told me that what Zach does is one of the most dangerous things a person can do, truly confronting the devil. Also, you say sensationalized. It's the shoes. Doesn't accoutrements, don't they help?
This is what I'm saying. Zach Bagans at least was the OG ghost.
He's doing it.
So yeah. He hasn't changed. His black cargo pants.
Nope.
His one singular black undershirt that he wears everywhere he goes. Black cap. It's because, again, it allows him to be like, look, I'm a shadow.
Exactly. He is the Guy Fieri of ghost hunters.
Yes.
I would say he's more like the Nickelback of ghost hunters, but that's just me.
Buddy, whoa. Hey, Nickelback. Guy Fieri.
Okay, I'll say. The Pearl Jam.
I'll
say he's the Pearl Jam because it begat Nickelback. It begat Puddle of Mud. It begat Sting. It begat all of these horrible fucking bands.
So once he goes through the begats crunch, then we know the episode is grinding to a halt.
The Marcus Bible.
I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm not a big fan of the Ghost Bro school of the paranormal.
Okay.
I believe it pulls the movement back.
It's so funny because Marcus, because I watch all this shit 24/7. I watch this stuff to go to sleep. And so I'm so used to it. And Marcus never watches it. So he was like, I sent him all this stuff and he was like, Ghost Adventures. And I was like, yes, I watch him. It is Adventures with Ghosts. And then as he was watching, he's just like, these men just yell at these ghosts. And
come
like,
ghost!
That's their whole thing.
Come at me, ghost!
Well, like, Zach, what are they doing? He vibes with them.
It's just a bunch of rock star energy drinks on screen,
buddy,
screaming at ghosts and pacing around.
This show is a bunch of rock star energy drinks.
Well, Kissel is 75% rock star energy drink. You're drinking coffee today. See?
Today I am.
That's true. But I drink espresso. And Henry, you drink cold brew. There is a nice balance. It's not just rock star.
Can we just get back to Gary, Indiana? Something I never thought I'd say.
But that's the thing, though. I'll give credit where credit's due. I have no doubt whatsoever that Zach Bagans was indeed sincere with his documentary. And I think he is 100% sincere about the after effects he suffered from making said documentary. I do believe that they believe, and I believe that they saw some weird fucking shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's the closest thing a father could come to accepting his son.
I felt almost like my father being like, so you do this for a living.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
And you're happy?
Okay. But at the end of the day, the real story is the original haunting. The one suffered by the Ammons family.
What we're heading into is because Marcus doesn't really appreciate the Ghost Bro school of demonology and ghost hunting. He doesn't. But the thing is that what you forget is that if we're not there, then we have to be in the crystals, non-vaccinated medium world.
But I mean,
demonology.
It does bring together a strange woman from Savannah and a weird Trump supporter from Arkansas.
It does create community.
It does.
And just ask Paul Roberts, demonologist, what it's like and what he has to go through in order to help his clientele to escape from demons.
Yes, love.
There's many ways to bring a demon into your life. You open up a portal. This portal brings in an entity, a dimensional entity through a portal that may inhabit your home,
yep,
may inhabit your body, may inhabit your soul.
Oh, God.
It gets worse than that.
And I received a call from a 19-year-old woman from Arkansas. Rebecca called me and she was terrified. She sounded really, really frightened on the telephone. She said that when she falls asleep, she would have nightmares and a demon. And she described this demon as looking somewhat hideous that would actually enter her dreams. And the demon was telling her to commit suicide. And when I was talking to her, the voice was shaking. She was frightened. She was crying. I asked her if she ever played with a Ouija board, tarot cards, and come to find out she played with a Ouija board.
Huh.
And I told her to take that Ouija board and throw it into the river.
Oh.
You can't burn a Ouija board because you'll curse yourself. And what she did was take the Ouija board and she threw it into the river. She never saw it again. She went and got baptized. She blessed her home. And no more than maybe a week later, there was a thrill in her voice. She was happy. She wasn't contemplating suicide. She wasn't having any more dreams. And she wasn't being bothered by this demon.
Now, this is what is called demonologist's voice.
Wow. Because he really saved her.
I wanted to, he really did. And because the thing about demon can be any form. Any form demon takes, he could be man. Demon could be a box of a hamburger. And you don't know. You eat hamburger, you don't understand. You eat demon. And demon can be checkerboard. And all of a sudden you play checkerboard and you now know that you kinging man, the man next to you, he demon as well. He also demon.
He's also
you playing demon. So
demon.
You never not be scared.
Never not be scared. Interesting. He mentioned not to burn the Ouija board when I was in high school. We did burn our Ouija board. Nothing bad happened.
No, nothing. It didn't.
You got clots.
I did get blood clots, but that was three years later. That was after major weight loss. And then also I rolled down a hill for fun.
And my favorite demonologist is a guy on YouTube that always had the camera right above the bridge of his nose. You only saw his eyes, and he would just and you'd watch the video, and he'd just go, "Pornography demons, come out, come out, pornography demons, come out." And it's that for 6 minutes.
Well, that's one hell of a JOI.
Mm-hmm. What's a JOI?
Jerk off instruction. That's where they tell you. That's how they tell you what to do.
It's actually kind of nice to have somebody else take the
wheel. And
they
give you a countdown at the end so you kind of can time it out.
Yeah, but in the end, I was just like, well, now, and then I was like, you know what? I just come at the top of it. Be like, all right, I'm done. Well, this starts a countdown because now I know she's checked out.
No, you got to just go to the end there.
Well, back to the house in Gary, Indiana. The house itself is fairly nondescript, the sort of simple one-story home with an enclosed porch that one might see on any of the streets of the more impoverished sections of Gary, Indiana, which are numerous.
Mm-hmm.
The structure was built in 1926, and supposedly, according to the documentary, five murders occurred in this one home prior to the residency of the Ammons family. Although, according to a report I ordered from diedinhouse.com, nobody has ever officially died at 3860 Carolina Street. I don't know where the hell he got that number.
Well, I just feel like at the time, it's let's say these murders were off the record.
Off the record, unofficial deaths. Was it one incident or five different incidents?
It could have been just one incident. All it takes is a grenade to kill a family.
Sure.
He just said five, like five murders, you know, and then that it sort of moved on from there pretty quickly.
Well, it's a big move on, but okay. Mm-hmm.
But as far as the supernatural history of the house goes, the problems of the Ammons family began in December of 2011 when swarms of large black flies infested the screened-in porch of their home. Supposedly, no matter how many flies the family killed, more would come to replace them. And this is despite the cold winter weather that should have kept away even the first swarm away, even much less replacement swarms.
Well, we only got flies in our house because the family decided to let me be totally in control of a rabbit that was inside of a wire cage in my bedroom. And it was terrible what I did.
Yeah, you killed that rabbit.
I didn't kill it specifically. It just died of neglect. And then also the shit itself created a demon-like atmosphere.
Yeah, I had Rusty the rabbit. I had a rabbit as well that died from pure and utter neglect. We shouldn't have them.
No, it was
a life lesson.
Never give a child a little pet without someone looking after it.
It was actually quite a sad scene in the Benjamin Kissel story. I was about 11 and it went to the cage to feed it, you know, for the first time in a while. And it had died. And then I brought it into the tub and I said, "It's okay, Rusty. You're going to make it, Rusty." But indeed, it had frozen to death at that time.
This is the scariest episode so far that we've ever done.
Yeah. I once killed a turtle, not through neglect. I cared too much. I thought it wanted cheese and I fed it too much cheese and it ate a lot of cheese. And the turtle didn't know that it shouldn't eat cheese and just knew that it liked cheese. And and then the turtle died from too much cheese.
It's like what I do the bit about how if you feed a penguin linguine, it fucking traps up its guts and fucking kills it.
Anyway, back to the flies.
Now, flies were a big part of the story of the most infamous haunted house in American history, the Amityville Horror.
Yes.
And one of the more memorable scenes from the movie adaptation involved the priest being swarmed with black flies.
Get out! Get out!
Not the flies! Not the flies!
That's the Bees.
It's all he tried to. He
I changed
it's
it.
A remix.
Remix.
It's a remix. But from the demonologist's perspective, the appearance of these insects are also a sign of Beelzebub, the so-called Lord of the Flies.
You know what, though? I've made an official decision, Ben Kissel decision. If the devil did have any control over insects, it would be mosquitoes.
Of course.
The Behringers of doom.
Mm-hmm. Harbingers.
Yeah, whatever. What's a Behringer?
I have no fucking clue.
Tom Behringer. Harbinger of doom.
Yeah, Behringer is a brand of microphone.
Oh, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Got it.
And these swarms of flies, they have long been a part of reported demon infestations even before the Amityville Horror. Now, after the flies made their first appearance, the Ammons family began experiencing classic poltergeist activity, the sort of slow burn that we see over and over again when people encounter supposed demonic or intelligent hauntings.
Mm. It's because the demons are taking hold.
No! Mm-hmm.
Well, they're all learning how to lie together as a family.
Oh, that could be interesting.
And to that point, it's important to delineate between the sorts of hauntings people experience when it comes to poltergeists. See, a poltergeist, as we've said many times before, that's what's known as an intelligent haunting.
Mm.
While there may not be a specific goal in mind when it comes to the entity behind the disturbance.
Entity. Like, remember, please.
Entity.
That guy, okay. That demonologist, the way he said entity, it made me question whether the word entity existed. Or if it was something.
A demon can come anywhere. Demon can be cornflakes. You're having an innocent breakfast. You think, oh, angel must be watching over me. Beautiful
Absolutely.
Day. Wonderful time. Have a smoothie. Next thing you know, smoothie is demon.
Smoothie is demon. Interesting.
Yeah, the entity, they might have a specific goal in mind. You know, like solve my murder or tell my wife I love her, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And like, stop telling me what to do. I'm up to here with your fucking micromanaging.
You better listen to that entity.
Well, there is certainly an intent to that, and it could be, to put it mildly, bothersome.
Mm-hmm.
Other hauntings, such as ghostly women walking down staircases night after night at the stroke of 3, those are residual hauntings, and they are, from our scant understanding, repeating visual or auditory imprints left on the physical world.
This is what we think. Or is all of this an example of, as we see, especially with the Zach Bagan screw going to this environment, do the actual ghost hunters themselves, with their projections of what they want to see in a home, accidentally create a series of tulpas?
Absolutely, completely, and utterly possible. When you're old, you die. And oftentimes we say 3 a.m. is the witching hour. Is it because that's when elderly people get up to go to the bathroom? And
that's
how
when
many
I
of
get
them
up.
Died doing that? Much like R.I.P. Mr. Bob Saget.
Mm, interesting.
Interesting.
It's a theory.
I like it. So you're saying that hauntings come from the prostate. That's what this is about.
I'm saying it's possible.
Issue.
Oh, that would be horrible if you that's purgatory, just having to pee.
Oh, it's our reality in fucking 30 years.
Dang it.
But even in the world of intelligent hauntings, there are many different perspectives as far as what they might be. Some think that the entity or entities behind intelligent hauntings are the disturbed spirits of those who have departed from the living world but do not know that they're dead, i.e. the scenario in the movie Poltergeist.
Remove the gravestones, but you didn't remove the bodies!
Which is really so stupid.
It's cool, though.
Yeah,
I know, but you didn't move the fucking bodies?
What are they going to do with all these bodies?
Oh, Lord.
Happens all the time. I mean, Europe, that's all of Europe. All of Europe is just moving the headstones, but not moving the bodies. Most, like, if you go on a ghost tour in Europe, they're like, yep, that road's just a bunch of bodies paved over, and that road's just a bunch of bodies paved over. Yeah, mm-hmm. we built our state house on a bunch of dead bodies.
You see, we had the good sense in America to kill the millions of people that were living here and then throw them into the trash.
There you go. That's great, Henry.
But when it comes to the Ammons case, most everyone involved believed that the disturbance was decidedly demonic in nature. In this situation, the haunting is caused by a Judeo-Christian demon, usually one of the demons mentioned in the Lesser Key of Solomon.
And they always have a very specific name, a series of duties, because to them, which I also love, is that when I was watching this one documentary, it's called Mysteries of Angels and Demons, and I like how they talk about it, it's because it's the science behind angels and demons.
Yeah, what's that science all about?
It is all about making it up as you go.
Great.
Because what they say is, one of my favorites is a pastor who was just like, as people say, like, you know, witchcraft, it has rituals, right? It has rituals, and it's disgusting. It's infernal. It's
as
infernal
opposed
what
to the Catholic Church.
We see, no, we what we called is, and this is real, he says, What we have is called spiritual exercises.
Oh.
That we do that are, yes, in a certain amount, but you have to go through a step. You have a grimoire, which we covered when we did Annalise Mikkel this year. You basically have a spell book that you read out specific names of demons to try to harness them.
Yeah.
And because that's the only way that to them, that's how you make it legit.
Sounds like you got rituals.
Yes. Okay. Very much so.
Oftentimes, though, from the studies we've done concerning supposed demon hauntings, it's rarely claimed that one demon is responsible.
Yeah, man. Nah, dude. It's got to be a bunch.
Demons have a lot of friends.
A legion of demons is usually involved, and they're all working in concert to make the lives of one family miserable for reasons unknown.
It's because they're drug people. That's what they say. It's their drug people, and a lot of times it's because, oh, it's because they told them they need psychological medication, and they don't. Because they say that what it is that your sadness just makes you vulnerable to demons.
Oh, intriguing indeed. It does seem like a really fun thing to do, to gang stalk a family as a demon with other demon buddies.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome as a group. I played a demon. I remember. It was a blast. You just go and you just, let's you and all your cronies get to just hassle with just one low-income family.
I mean, many times you were just a urinal.
Yes, that was the bit on the show.
Yeah, how many times did you act as a urinal in that show?
Probably 5 times. So. And then you just get used to it. You just don't really care anymore. It just comes a part of your life, and you just keep rolling on.
And those were the best days of my life.
Yeah, I always remember my youth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that they would allow you to be pissed on, but they wouldn't allow it to be yellow?
It couldn't be yellow. Yes. You could be liquid. It could be clear, but you could piss in my eyes. You can piss in my mouth. I drank all that piss. Like, he literally pissed directly into my mouth and I gargled. And then we had to cut the whole thing where they shit in my mouth because they couldn't do that. But it was awesome.
Fantastic.
Well, in the case of the Ammons house, it was postulated that the trouble came from up to 200 demons.
It's the ultimate demons. It's the entire NFL draft. That's demons.
It is. Wow.
Concerning widespread misery, though, Zach Bagans half-heartedly suggested in his documentary that perhaps all of the horrible things that have befallen Gary, Indiana over the last few decades have come from the so-called portal to hell that supposedly existed over this one house on Carolina Street.
You're going to want to move then. I actually think there is a town, I believe it's in Pennsylvania, that is currently still on fire, correct?
It's on fire, yeah.
Seems like a portal to hell to me.
Yeah, I think the portal to hell might be stuff like bad capitalism and systemic racism, but I don't know. Maybe I'm incorrect.
Portal to hell.
Now, that is a massive stretch to say the least. But after hearing the Ammons family story, as well as the testimonies of some of the people who shared these experiences before the fucking Bagans crew barged into the house with all that fucking Red Bull energy, I do believe that this story is compelling. Maybe not demonic, but compelling nonetheless. Now, after the flies, LaToya and her mother, who also lived at the house on Carolina Street, they started hearing strange noises each night when the clock struck midnight. They heard creaking doors and loud footsteps emanating from the basement.
At least the loud footsteps were corroborated by many witnesses. That seemed to come up individually from people who came in and out of the house afterwards and before, saying, oh, we used to have this problem with phantom footsteps, which is in and of itself very creepy.
Yes.
Well, thinking that a breeze was possibly causing the door to sway, LaToya locked it, but the creaking sound persisted. And soon, LaToya's mother began seeing the shadowy figure of a man pacing around the living room.
Oh.
While no man was found, the apparition allegedly left behind large, wet boot prints.
Cool.
Oh, my.
Then came the dogs.
Oh, no.
I don't like that.
Even though there were no dogs nearby, the family heard barking coming from inside the house. And an investigator who later examined the basement claimed to have heard a dog barking and growling beneath the floorboards.
That's the kind of stuff that I found compelling about the documentary and other footage I saw is shit like that, where like one person would say something very specific about the dog barking and hearing dog barking. And then that one dude came in there and the first thing he said was like, is that a dog barking? Which was interesting when that all lines up.
Folks, are we talking demon dogs here? We have a demon dog. Is that what's happening here?
I feel like noises are being used to unsettle people because, especially at the time, if you do believe that the certain parts of the function of the phenomena are reflecting back on things that you find particularly scary, what would be really scary in Gary, Indiana besides the sound of multiple cop dogs? right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean it.
And that type of thing reverberates back of like, what's scary to you? I don't know.
Okay, all dogs do go to heaven. I've seen the movie.
Some dogs go to heaven.
I don't know if dogs do go to hell.
Some dogs go to hell.
And I believe you do have to be in hell to be a demon.
Now, it is important to note that LaToya Ammons was heavily religious and Catholic at that, meaning she was primed and ready to believe that a demon was behind all of her troubles. What we will say, however, is that many of the things that happened to the Ammons family have been happening in poltergeist cases and in supposed possession cases for centuries, meaning that the case does deserve serious investigation, even though serious investigation in the paranormal still seems to be just out of our grasp. It's almost there. I can feel it.
Well, because you just asked the Newkirks. The Newkirks do the closest thing to I've seen to a truly serious ghost investigation, and people say it's boring. Because, unfortunately, it does move slow, and a lot of times when you experience a paranormal, it's very personal.
Dog Whisperer meets Ghost Hunters, Demon Dogs edition.
Interesting. Save that in your pocket. Save it for the next time we pitch it something. Wait, the head of Shudder. We're talking the head of Shudder, and he completely blew it. He fucking blew it. He said, I'm going to pitch you a movie, and he fucked it up.
I pitched more of a thriller.
Not a horror movie.
No. He literally said that as he was looking at his phone.
He started looking at his phone.
I watched him turn into a pitch movie. He was like, I got a pitch for you. And he was like, all right. And then, because he was totally engaged. And as soon as he started pitching, this guy started looking at his phone. I was like, God damn it. He just immediately went into exec mode.
The true horror, isn't it?
How does the thriller end?
It's actually quite a cute idea. It's about a make-a-wish kid who wishes that the baseball player would throw the game.
Yeah, and then it turns into Uncut Gems.
And then
meets that movie where what's-his-name, Johnny Knoxville, pretended to be mentally handicapped to get into the fucking games.
And then he becomes, the make-a-wish kid becomes this entity. The mafia is like, who is this guy? Who's this guy? But it turns out it's a make-a-wish kid. So it's Saw meets some kind of other movie.
It's the worst fucking idea I've ever heard in my life.
I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'm going to make it. I just made it. It's starring Alec Baldwin.
And what's it called?
It's called, what's the opposite of a wish?
This is the problem, man. This is the problem. Like I said, it was like, no, take the stage. It was like, the spotlight's on you, man.
I nailed it.
Yeah.
Live from your grave.
Did you know that there are currently over 2.4 million podcasts in the world? Sheesh. Yikes. Including the only one that you're listening to, which is the only one that counts. All right. It takes a team of people to help bring these podcasts together. Believe me, it takes blood, sweat, tears, guns, money, sex, violence. It's so much fun. Like my team, honestly, though. Yes, I did. We did a lot of online recruiting, but I also just blew the horn of Shangri-Lat and then just came from every fjord that was in a 5-mile radius. But I'm different. Needless to say, hiring the right people for these roles, it's important. And whether you're hiring for a podcast or for your growing business, there's only one place that makes it easy. ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LPOTL. ZipRecruiter uses its powerful technology to find and match the right candidates up with your job. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. For Serial, I got some of the best people that from our entire network, the crucial members of our team I got through online recruiting. It's meant so much to us and it can mean something to you. So if you're a fan of this podcast and you want to try ZipRecruiter for free today, you need to remember our special URL, ZipRecruiter.com/LPOTL. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/LPOTL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hi, I'm Jackie Zabrowski.
And I'm MJ.
And I'm Holden from the Page 7 Podcast, and we're going on
tour! That's right, we're touring all up in this motherfreaking country.
Well, fake cursing, so whatever, Jackie. Just say the filthy F word already.
Ooh, we will say the filthy F word when we come to your town.
First up, we'll be in Austin and Dallas, Texas on November 17th and 18th, respectively. Or disrespectively.
Good Lord! For ticket links and more details, visit lastpodcastnetwork.com.
That's right, lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Page 7 and Wizard and the Bruiser present Release the Butthole Cut!
Wait, that's really what we're calling the tour?
Absolutely, Release the Butthole Cut. For more information, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Well, concerning the patterns of poltergeist activity, after the simple stuff was out of the way, LaToya's daughter allegedly became a target of the entity haunting the house. As usual, the daughter was 12 years old. She was pubescent, and she was going through the traumatic experience of the loss of a loved one. To wit, on the night of the first sign of alleged possession, the family was mourning the loss of that loved one. And at around 2 a.m. on March 10th, 2012, a friend staying at the Amons' house woke up to find LaToya's daughter unconscious and levitating above the bed.
Whoa. It is very classic scenario. They are. It is a very classic scenario. The entire family was in turmoil, as it was. I think that the mom might have been. It might be dealing with some psychological difficulties as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Everybody kind of like, again, is it groupthink or is it a demon?
Okay.
According to the Amons family, they all witnessed the phenomenon when the friend screamed. And supposedly, they prayed over the levitating girl until she finally woke up. And when she did, she had no idea why everyone was so worried, but her sleepover friend never returned to the house.
Yeah, I wouldn't go back.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of fun. Why not? Go back. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's all about if you're stupping her or not.
It's something to do.
If you're
anyway.
Stupping her, then you gotta hang out for
it
a
was
while.
A sleepover.
It's like when they
friend.
Get it's if your new girlfriend gets possessed by a demon, you kind of have to hang out for a bit. It's like if they turn out getting really sick.
No, No, you can go. If they've been possessed by a demon, if you've been dating for a month, you can just go.
Wow, interesting.
If you're married,
I'm on this one, I think you can just go.
On a month? What's the cutoff? 3 months?
You married? Honestly, even if you're engaged. They're possessed by a demon, you can go.
Wow.
But you sign that devil's contract, and then you have to stay with them.
If you're talking about living together, then I think you got to stay. But anytime before that, you can just head. You can
especially
just
if you signed a lease.
Yeah.
Any document that's been signed,
yes.
You got to stay.
But I think even the if you're not living together, if you're talking about living together, then yeah, you got to stick around. You can't just say, I'm out of here.
Okay. He's the moral barometer of the show.
Okay.
Well, after that, LaToya's other two children, boys aged 7 and 9, they also became targets for the supposed entity. In one incident, one of the boys was thrown out of a room by an invisible force. Ooh. And he complained that something was pulling at his limbs and genitals.
It's the ghost of Michael Jackson.
I know, insert your Michael
Gary
Jackson.
Gary
that's the one we get. We get
just,
it.
It's Gary
and you know, and that was a pretty good. You know what? If you were going to put one anywhere, that was a pretty good place for it.
I mean, I was going to let our audience think it, and then they can have the embarrassing shame of having a horrible joke that they want to say, and then they do say it, and then everyone says, good job.
Well, what's interesting and unusual about this story, though, is that demonic presences usually focus on one person when it comes to possession, although everyone in the house experiences something. With the Amons family, however, all three kids were fair game for temporary spiritual invasions. Fairly often, the eyes of the two little boys would allegedly become extremely bloodshot. When that happened, the boys would describe what it felt like to be murdered, or they'd lock themselves in closets to talk to invisible entities, or they'd say they were being choked to death by something they couldn't see.
This is why I have chihuahuas.
This is scary, yeah.
As far as the daughter went, her head was allegedly smashed against her bed's headboard hard enough to require stitches. Although another version of that story is that the headboard simply fell, albeit with great force.
Do you remember when the sign hit you in the head?
Yeah, but that was my fault.
Demons. Because the demon, he entered your home and you think, oh, maybe I have bought
that's
a vintage record. I have
yeah.
went across town to Manchester, London, and I went and I got myself a record from a store and I say, oh, how rare, how incredible it is for me to have. And then you show up, we open up record, put it on player, and you expect to have a good time with you and your girlfriend. Turned out a demon.
It's a demon. Fantastic.
But after putting up with a fair amount of these disturbances, LaToya Amons reached out to two local clairvoyants, who quickly surmised that the house was inhabited by over 200 demons.
These fucking bitches were ready to go because they're all the women. I know these ladies from my mom's time spent working in a 12-step store. You just
12-step store.
You throw a folding chair, you'll hit like four. That's funny. That's really funny stuff. And I'm just so glad you derailed it.
Yeah.
You derailed me for it.
Anyway, continue on.
It's over now.
All right. 200 demons, 2 clairvoyants. Wow.
At the insistence of those clairvoyants, who were never named, by the way, LaToya built a Christian altar in her basement to combat the demonic presence because all signs were pointing towards the basement being the source of the hauntings.
And the basement was genuinely creepy.
Yeah.
But I also feel like this is kind of the thing we saw with the Betty Andreessen affair. Mm-hmm. It's like in certain things when you are maybe experiencing something that is weird, right? But you also have sort of a very specific religious outlook as that there's something about kind of, in a way, encouraging the behavior of the phenomena, if it's indeed real, by doing shit like this, where you set up a Christian altar and basically you tell the thing that it's a demon and then it starts to behave as such.
This is why you got to get a one-story house, Spanish style. No basement, no attic.
You're right. This is all about a ranch-style home.
It really is.
Dressed all in white with sheets wrapped around their heads, LaToya and her mother covered an end table with a white cloth and placed a statue of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph next to a Bible open to Psalm 91.
Jesus, Mary, Joseph?
He's great today. He's great today. I'm loving it.
Yeah. Psalm 91, it's basically a bunch of well-meaning and comforting passages about Jesus generally protecting his followers from this, that, and the other.
Okay.
Yeah, why do you make hair lips, though?
Well, who cares? Everyone's beautiful in their own right.
Why do you make all this other fucking shit? Why do you make kids with backwards fucking arms and shit?
Everyone, it's just
he didn't protect
fun.
Everybody. Only protect, no, this is about, only protect
you're not
some
understanding
people.
At all what it means.
This is about protecting after. This is about protection from the horrible things on Earth, like birds. I think it mentions birds. Like Jesus will protect you from birds.
Hey, man. All you need is an umbrella.
Yes. Now, supposedly, the altar temporarily protected the family for 3 days. But after the third day, the statue was thrown across the basement by the demonic force, and the hauntings quickly restarted just as strong as ever.
No.
So after the clairvoyance didn't pan out, Amons, to her credit, reached out to her family's pediatrician. After visiting the home, though, he immediately called out the situation as delusional.
He's like, you're all fucked up. Everything's fucked up. Everybody's sad and upset. And none of it's real.
Okay.
At this point, though, one of the boys cursed the pediatrician out using a demonic voice. Then the boy was lifted and thrown into a wall when no one else was nearby, supposedly.
This did happen in front of their doctor. It happened in front of their doctor, and but then he's still, like, looking at it as from a doctor's perspective, as he should. He was like, well, maybe they're having a seizure. Everybody's freaking out.
And both boys then passed out, so the pediatrician had his office contact the authorities. And the authorities surprisingly overreacted by sending multiple ambulances and 8 police officers. This, of course, was when the Department of Child Services became involved. See, a neighbor had already reported Amons to the DCS because she believed that the kids were merely performing for their mother and were acting out to calm LaToya's own delusions stemming from untreated mental illness. That being said, though, it was a DCS worker who witnessed the most incredible display of paranormal activity out of this entire ordeal. And it happened not in the Amons home, but at the hospital after the pediatrician called emergency services.
This is like why we're doing the episode and why people are interested in the case.
It gives it some legitimacy.
The caseworker, Valerie Washington, brought the two boys into an examination room with the children's grandmother, away from the eyes of their mother, LaToya. The 7-year-old started growling at his 9-year-old brother, saying that he planned to kill him and that it was, quote, time to die.
Uh-oh.
I mean, kids fight.
I guess. That's a little extreme.
Then his eyes rolled back and he bared his teeth at DCS staff, which prompted the other boy to headbutt his brother in the stomach. It took 5 members of the hospital staff to hold down the 7-year-old, but the creepiest part came when the grandmother attempted to pray. Supposedly, and this was witnessed by multiple people, when the grandmother tried grabbing the boy's hands, the child grinned, glided across the floor, and climbed up a wall backwards.
No! Get out of here.
Yeah, man.
Stop it all. I don't like what's happening.
I think he is inhabited by Michael Jackson.
I don't know about all of that. I finally
get to be a boy again.
Finally. I don't think he really enjoyed being a child. I think that's part of the trauma that he experienced as well. But wow. So this all happened in a hospital.
Yeah, this happened in a hospital. Multiple people said they saw it happen. They saw a child walk backwards up a wall by himself, no one around him. And they watched when I say he glided across the floor, it's like the scene in Poltergeist where they take the little girl and she glides across the kitchen. It's like that.
Whoa. Yeah.
He looked at the fucking nurse and went, doom, 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 doom. Doom,
fantastic. Doom,
fantastic. Doom, doom. Just still trying it again and again and
really
again.
Just,
just hoping that maybe you can hit it. One of the angles might get it.
One more time. A little shoehorn in there. You got a nice, that's great humor. Good.
By the way, you already had your one.
And then he's done four now. It's been four.
This is my life, man. Y'all you trapped in here want. With me.
I know.
Dude.
We know. We're aware. I'd rather be with this kid in the hospital. It is just wow.
The staff, suitably freaked out, they went and got a doctor who asked the boy to do it again.
What?
Do it again.
Do it again.
Do it again. Show
me. Because now they're going like, all right. Fucking do it again, because they were like, this is literally ghost hunting at its purest.
Yeah. All right, do it again. That's not what I would request, but okay.
However, the boy not only couldn't repeat the incident, but he had no memory that anything strange had happened at all.
And I do believe if you ask a kid if he can do that, like kind of parkour like that, he'd be like, yeah, of course, mister. He'd just do it again because it'd be cool as fuck.
I just don't think he... Anyway, interesting indeed.
Now, whether or not caseworker Valerie Washington believed in demonic possession or not is irrelevant, because the day after the wall climbing incident, an emergency appeal was filed to have the children taken away from LaToya Ammons.
Hmm.
Partly, LaToya's children were taken away because this was not the first time she'd been accused of neglectful parenting. Years earlier, in 2009, Ammons was reported because her kids weren't going to school, and it was obvious that all three kids were going through some kind of emotional distress.
The house was all messed up. Mm-hmm. There was like things were really not well on the inside of the house. But again, is it a chicken and the egg scenario that these things tend to happen in tense home situations?
Sure.
So the kids were sent to group homes for psychiatric evaluations. Meanwhile, the chaplain at the hospital where the wall climbing incident had occurred, he decided, along with LaToya, to reach out to a priest named Father Michael Magino concerning possible options for exorcism, which I think tells you a lot about LaToya's state of mind. Mm-hmm. Is that her kids get taken away and her first thought is call a priest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, because now she has decided that this is real.
Yes, she has.
And maybe, and again, I feel there is a, how do you put it, like a practical edge to the performative ritual of exorcism. Mm-hmm. That maybe if you can convince somebody that, like, all right, you think this is real, let's now walk this path and try to fix you in a way that corresponds to your beliefs.
Right. But
sometimes it does snap people out of it. A lot of times it just makes it worse.
Yeah. Now, Father Magino immediately found this to be a bizarre request because most priests never experience credible claims of demon possession. Although, as we've said, exorcisms have been on a rapid rise over the last few decades.
But you know what's exciting?
Yeah,
because most of the time it's just like boring ass funerals.
Oh,
you
sure.
Gotta do your fucking mass. The idea of someone showing up being like, "I need an exorcism," that's a fucking huge day for a priest.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. They are the only ones that can handle this assignment.
So while Father Magino didn't agree to an exorcism right away, he did agree to meet with the family. And 2 days after LaToya's children were taken away, she met with Father Magino at her allegedly haunted house.
Hmm.
Now, Magino figured that there was probably some sort of natural affliction going on here, which isn't the worst assumption considering how many people have come away from that place with serious physical ailments that point more towards extreme toxicity in the environment instead of demonic infestation.
It's so funny that you said the word serious physical ailments, and I swear to God, Kissel's stomach just made a noise. It sounds like there is a man inside of him. It sounds like there's a haunted
demon.
Butler. Like, literally, there is a physical tiny man that is trapped in his guts.
Not the flies.
I just heard not the flies. It was Tim Allen's in there.
Oh, interesting. Home Improvement.
Well, for a good example of those serious physical ailments and people who have visited the place, the parapsychologist from the Zach Bagans documentary, mm-hmm. the guy who came in with like the neat little like the fun little toys, he came away from the visit with serious organ failure.
Dude,
is there a gas leak in the house?
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to get to it.
And this dude is like, he's in the, like, it's near the end of the documentary. He's in the hospital. His organs are shutting down.
Yeah,
and
they said that each one shut down. Normally they say when organs shut down, they do one at a time, but there seemed to be some kind of strike There was a collective strike of labor.
They unionized. Yeah. Out of all the EVPs and all the electronic equipment he brought, did anyone bring a carbon monoxide tester?
That's what we'll get into. But this guy is sitting there. His organs are shutting down and he's got a smile on his face. He is super jazzed because he's like,
It's true. It was me. It's like meeting Chandler Bing.
Oh,
and
wow.
You just say, like, say what you say on the show. Say the thing where you go, like, Monica.
Isn't that
it's
nice?
Just so nice to be there and just know a demon touched me.
Well, Friends was just great because even if you were lonely, you always had friends.
They would never have spoken to you.
No, I know. It really doesn't hold up.
Honestly, Kissel's stuff, his whole body is make. He sounds like a haunted mansion.
He's just hungry. The man's hungry.
It's not. I don't know what that is. I think I heard a chain noise come out of him.
I actually had too much chili this week. And but I haven't forgotten anything. So I think Alex Jones was lying about that too.
Did say in our text chain, my butt's been crazy lately.
Since
we got back from the UK, my butt's been crazy.
We need to get a belly mic.
I don't want a belly mic.
But concerning Maginot's read on the situation, he decided after a 4-hour conversation that the family was indeed being tormented by malevolent spirits.
Whoa.
But for him, the clincher was nothing more complicated than a flickering light. See, he claimed that when he was conducting the interview with LaToya and her mother, a flickering light in the bathroom emitted a continuous noise.
Hey, how you doing? Hey.
Oh.
How you doing?
I love that Italian light bulb.
Hey, what you guys doing?
But when Maginot acknowledged the light and told it to cut it out, the flickering stopped.
Sorry about that.
The old Dave Coulier.
Now, when the when the Maginot line, that's not right. Now, when
actually, I might have to use the restroom.
Okay.
We're keeping this in.
No, we're not. No, we're not keeping
and
that in.
Ad break goes here.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night. Perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Okay, so we're back from the break. Has the haunted stomach righted itself?
I think we're allowed now because I did hear like a thank you and then a flush. So you sent him back to the sewer?
God forbid I eat chili. God knows. It's a little too much for my fragile system.
Now, when Father Maginot contacted his local bishop to request permission for an exorcism, the request was denied. Because from what I can tell about Catholic exorcisms, they almost never get approved on the first try.
No, you got to really want it. It's like a FOIA.
Mm-hmm. Instead, the bishop pretty much blew off the request and half-heartedly told Maginot to just Google it. Google a minor rite. See if you can find something that doesn't need church approval and see if maybe that works.
I went to the internet and I type in, is it Google, right? But then I look at Google and it's not spelled like it should be. And then all of a sudden I realize it's not Google at all. It is demon. I've been typing into demon this whole time. And demon told me how to encourage it instead of how to get rid of it.
Absolutely. This is a lazy... Google it. Come on.
Yeah, Google it. And so after Googling it, Maginot held a crucifix up to LaToya's head and said a minor rite of exorcism. This only caused convulsions. But Maginot considered this a victory. Because, he said, along with the flickering light, the convulsions meant that the spirits were afraid of him. See?
Fantastic.
But they didn't leave.
Okay.
But they were now satisfactorily afraid of him.
Father Michael, scary dude.
And so before he left, he blessed each room of the house with holy water while reading passages from the Bible. Although this was not enough to keep Amons and her mother from fleeing the house to stay with relatives in Indianapolis.
Gary's the only place that makes Indianapolis look like a refuge.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, the kids were being psychologically evaluated at their respective group homes. The youngest, it was said, acted possessed when he was challenged, redirected, or faced with questions he didn't want to answer. Otherwise, he was totally normal, just so long as he wasn't talking about demons or hauntings, which led the psychologist to believe that there was nothing psychologically abnormal about the child.
Yeah, obviously, the kid was on some level, you know, nowadays, like, and you'd look at it and be like, well, he's overreacting to this whole topic. This whole topic is doing something. I'm not saying demonic, but it's psychological. Like, he's learned to behave this way.
Could be demonic.
Likewise, the person who interviewed the other two kids came upon the same conclusion, adding that the daughter was probably being influenced by her mother's paranormal superstitions and extreme religious beliefs. Remember, kids always want to please. That's what they want more than anything.
Of course. And if you do believe, it kind of holds that, you know, with demons, demonologists say that, you know, demons attach themselves to specific people and places. So maybe if you move away from the portal of hell, it doesn't work anymore. You don't get, you lose the demon Wi-Fi signal, and now you're like out there, but you got to act like it.
Right. But then who wants to move away from the portal to hell?
I mean, tell me about it.
Come on now.
But while the psychiatric officials assigned to the case were mostly blaming the mother for these strange events, the DCS worker who allegedly saw the Amon's child walk backwards up the wall returned to the house with three police officers to check on the house's livability. Now, included in that cohort was a Gary police captain named Charles Austin, who was very much a believer in the paranormal. And honestly, I'm going to say this is not a quality that I personally want in a high-ranking law enforcement official, because Charles Austin came to staunchly believe in the demonic and specifically the satanic angle of this case.
Yeah. It's one of those where again, it's also the thing that, quote unquote, gives us legitimacy. Because it's an authority figure comes in.
I think it delegitimizes the cop.
Yes. Yes.
Which legitimizes the haunting.
The haunting.
Well, it's just any kind of, like, when cops start talking about satanic cults and satanic
worship. Yeah, then
worship,
you're like,
it's obvious they're a very dangerous human being. However, concerning supposed satanic rituals, I can see how someone who's already primed to believe in this sort of thing might be persuaded by the house on Carolina Street, particularly considering what they found in the basement.
Uh-oh.
See, the basement of the home was totally paved over except for one small area under the stairs. That was nothing more than loose dirt.
That's where Marcus would be.
Ooh, yeah. That's where he would
it's
love
Mark
to sleep.
Lisey's room.
Yeah, that's his bed. What happened? What's down there?
Well, Father Maginot, who'd also come along, he began insisting, hey, there could be a body buried under
there. Could be a body.
And
that's what I'm
thinking.
And all
the cops were like, yay!
So we got a detective. Yay! We got a priest. And they walk into a haunted house. Finish the joke.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they all have sex with each other.
Oh.
While all the children watch.
Interesting. Fantastic.
And he kept sitting back there. And he kept saying, hey, you should dig up that thing. You should dig up that thing.
Dig it up.
There's
why
a
not?
Dirt over there. You should dig it up. There's probably a body in there, man. Dig it up. Dig that
dig
shit
it up.
And finally, the officers complied.
So yeah, fine. What else are we going to do?
Dig it up.
No body was found, but they did find some mysterious and appropriately creepy items. They found a single woman's press-on nail, a pair of women's underwear,
nice,
two children's socks with the ankles cut off,
weird,
a candle, a comb, and a heavy metal bar.
Okay.
All right.
Now, of course, Father Maginot immediately jumped to the conclusion that one of the previous tenants of the house had been a necromancer who was performing rituals to communicate with and raise the dead.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the only logical conclusion.
A necromancer is like, how do you say, he hosts a party, right? And he has many different hors d'oeuvres. Their hors d'oeuvre that you get, and it's like, got the little spinach pie. You see the spinach pie? And the demon, he turned out, you thought you bought hors d'oeuvre. A demon. He did demon and necromancer. He served demon.
He is a demon.
Yeah, and Captain Austin immediately agreed, adding that the house was a straight-up portal to hell.
Yep, that's it. Done. Case solved.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, when pictures were taken and audio recordings were made during that search, ghostly silhouettes and weird cloudy marks populated the pictures. Hmm. And the recording captured a voice softly whispering, hey, hey,
been trying to meet you.
Whoa, interesting. I'll meet you, demon.
Yeah. Oh, must be the devil.
Devil.
No.
It's great, right?
Very good. Good
work. Pixies.
Oh, yeah. The pixies. Love them.
Now, Captain Austin was fully convinced because he had said his police radio emitted strange noises and stopped working in front of the Carolina Street house.
Yeah, I kept on getting these calls for, like, emergencies.
And
like, there was accidents and these face, like, strange noises.
Don't
like,
you understand?
Help.
I am trying to dig into a portal to hell.
Homicide. They said homicide. I was like, what a strange noise. What's that word?
And one of the seats on his police car started moving back and forth uncontrollably when it was parked nearby the house.
another mission accomplished as a demon. I'm all powerful, all knowing. Let's move his chair slowly back and forth, would you?
Yes. I will fuck with his driving settings. That's yeah, real. It goes all your favorites on the radio.
Oh.
Now they're switched.
No.
Well, similarly, the social worker who allegedly witnessed the child climbing up the wall backward, she quit her job soon after the discovery of the creepy objects and moved away from Indiana.
All right. So real actions were being taken by people.
Mean, it could also be that this was just the last in a long string of unsettling things.
I can't imagine
that were seen
how difficult
by a social worker in Gary, Indiana.
How difficult is the job of a social worker in Gary
her
must
job
be.
Was she covered child casualties.
Oh, yikes. Oh,
she was not dumb. Yeah, she was probably not, it was not a happy job.
Very traumatizing.
Job.
Go to Chicago, have a hot dog.
I mean, even that's going to be bad.
No, Chicago's got great food.
Not about the food. I'm talking about the social working in Chicago would also be very difficult.
You got to stop being a social worker. But that's...
Now, Captain Austin was fully immersed in the story at this point, so he had his officers check into the history of the house. Although I'm not entirely sure what the cops were going to do with that information once they gathered it. Nevertheless, they supposedly discovered that the house was built in 1926 by a newlywed couple, and their young son supposedly died in the house, and the wife died soon after that.
Got to.
The widower then sold the house to a landlord who sold it to another landlord, and it had acted as a rental property ever since.
It is interesting because you don't hear a lot of, I guess this is also truly a modern tale because it is in a rented house that they don't own it.
Yeah. Now, Father Maginot believed that the original owners of the house might have created a shrine in the basement to communicate with their dead son. And believers in possession, as Henry has demonstrated, they usually think that attempting any sort of occult ritual, right down to something as small as playing with a Ouija board, that can open a portal to hell.
Or a tarot deck. Or you get some kind of, you get a seeing ball. You know, you ever seeing ball and then you show up and it turns out it's a baseball? And you're like, I don't see anything in baseball, but it turns out baseball's demon.
Just to give a little context of Gary here, baseball is demon. I do believe that it topped the homicide rates for Indiana.
Yeah, man.
And they said nearly half of Gary's homicides in 2010 were unsolved. I'm just happy that this case is being worked
they
on.
They are. Yeah.
Because that's the
in,
most
man.
Important
They're
thing. When half
in.
Of the homicides are unsolved, is it a demon?
I mean, it's so much easier to have it be demons than systemic, deep-rooted
it's the only
issues.
Thing where I'm totally with Marcus. Maybe the cops didn't need to be on the case.
Yeah. But it also must be said that nobody before the Amons nor anyone after the Amons experienced any kind of paranormal activity in the house. Except for Zach Bagans. He bought the house for $35,000 after the story broke in 2014 so he could have his biggest ghost adventure yet. But the people who lived there afterwards said no. The people who lived before there said no.
Wait, he's renting it out?
No, he will get to it. That's you don't want to spoil it.
Yeah. However, if we stay in the paranormal realm, poltergeist hauntings are admittedly usually attached to people, not places. So just because nobody before or after, aside from Bagans and his crew, experienced nothing, that doesn't mean that nothing has ever happened there.
Also, I do think it is scenario meets right person. It's one of those things where there is a bit of a kismet about it. Again, if you fully believe, which I do sometimes traffic into that world, is that it's all about who shows up. That's what makes a paranormal situation.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you've never seen anything besides the orb and that thing that you think was an orb in the Edinburgh Cemetery?
Well,
but
I saw a picture. I took a picture of an orb.
Yeah, I
which
saw
was
it.
A thing. But then also, I saw a thing. But yes, maybe it's because, well, I do believe there's
now
another
you've seen
show.
Two orbs now.
There's a thing I'm watching. Like I'm right here.
Ooh. Yeah, with your boobies. Mm, yeah, nice.
I also been watching a show called 28 Days Haunted, which is not, it's fine. Our buddy Aaron Sager runs
yes,
it. It's great.
Of course.
But it's like, you know, it's again, it's deep in the demonologist medium territory. But I do think that there's something, like when I was watching Demon House, I kind of was like, man, they should like move in and act like you're living there. Like don't bust it open with cameras and shit yet. Like move in and like, put your clothes in the drawer, make food for yourself, like be in the environment, because I think that's where it starts to the subtly encroach into your life.
Okay. Maybe they didn't have the time.
They had to shoot.
They had to shoot.
Yes. Now, on the next visit to the home, the same group of officials sans the original caseworker came, this time with a dog in tow.
Oh.
Dog didn't give a shit about anything in the house, which is surprising considering how sensitive dogs can be to this sort of thing.
Sure.
But it was discovered that the window blinds in the attic were dripping with oil.
Dripping with oil.
Now, the more skeptical officers surmised that LaToya's mother had anointed the walls and blinds with oil in a ritual. So the officers wiped down the area and sealed off the room to make sure the mother couldn't break back in and cover everything up in more shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when the investigators returned, they found that more oil was dripping from the blind.
Are we talking like Newman's Own? Are we talking Italian dressing here?
Clear,
what do you mean, oil?
It was a clear, viscous oil.
Viscous oil.
And perhaps inadvisedly, the new social worker who replaced the original, a woman named Samantha Illick, she touched the oil and was immediately affected. Oh. The blood drained from the finger that touched the oil. The finger bent as if it were broken, and she began having a panic attack. And indeed, there are pictures of her finger at the scene, and it is far paler than the other four fingers. Noticeably
so. Pale finger.
Pale finger.
Demons.
Father Maginot naturally claimed that the oil was a sort of ectoplasm, a manifestation of the demonic presence.
Demon come.
Interesting. Yes.
Personally, I think this might have been another example of how this house was, to use a clinical term, all fucked up.
Yeah,
all
because
fucked
it's
up.
very well could be some form of mold or pollution itself, literally just building on the walls. The thing could slide up from the, you know, again, is it just sitting on a toxic waste dump? I don't know.
We don't know, demons.
But on the other hand, the finger incident wasn't the only bad thing to happen to that woman after she visited the house. She broke 3 ribs within 30 days in separate incidents.
Clumsy.
And the bad luck she encountered was spread around to just about everyone involved.
Yeah, man. Multiple people. A lot of people. This is also one of those weird things, which is like, is it about perspective or is it real? Where people went to the house and when they left it, their lives would just get fucked up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jesus Christ himself, he had some broken ribs as they stabbed him.
They sliced his side.
Yes, indeed. So perhaps there's something to that, demons.
I think you're starting to get demonology.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need to set you up with a YouTube channel, man.
All you got to do is yell at everybody that for a while. Yeah. And just remember that Trump is an angel.
I'd say demons.
Demons.
That's how I would say it. Demons.
But Captain Austin said that he had multiple near-death experiences. And Zach Baggins became afflicted with an eye condition that nearly blinded him and still affects him to this day.
I know this to
be
true.
Weird.
Yes,
okay.
It is weird. Yeah.
That was after Zach, he barricaded himself in the house overnight and basically made it an airtight chamber, which may also possibly point towards something real fucked up environmentally.
Yeah, like environmental maybe.
Yeah, because he said he had something like this horrible pain behind his eyes and he still has to wear these glasses with prisms in them.
Yeah.
Shit like that. So
it's kind of really ruined himself physically.
Yeah, fucked him up bad.
And the original caseworker who quit, she had to enter intensive therapy to deal with what she experienced. Mm. But about a month after the kids were taken away to live in another house and their symptoms seemed to clear up, Father Maginot decided that the demon or demons were fixated on LaToya Ammons specifically.
Hmm.
She claimed to have suffered from repeated illnesses. She had headaches when she was in or near the house, and she had recurring dreams about violently raping her own mother.
Not good!
My goodness gracious.
And so Father Maginot again requested an exorcism and was finally granted permission to perform 3 major exorcisms. 2 in English, one in Latin.
That's a big get.
Wow.
These three rites were spread out over a month, and Father Magino noted that the demon name that evoked the strongest response from LaToya was Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Beelzebub. Wow.
That's one of the big boys. That's a big
boy. That's a huge one. That's the one, isn't it?
And the thing is that you can't, well, he's the one of the second in command, right, of hell.
Who's number one?
Satan.
Lucifer.
Lucifer, depending on whether or not you think he's a different entity than Satan.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Because there's that theological debate that you could fall asleep
and
listening
to. And what a fun debate.
And there's also the concept that what if, these things lie. So, again, resident demon here, Henry Zabrowski, Gary Bunda, is that how often you show up, and it could be some lesser demon, just saying he's Beelzebub.
Also, I mean,
that's the other thing, too, where it's like, they need to lie, because they always lie.
They always lie.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But even though Magino was faced with what demonologists believe is one of the most powerful demons in existence, he claimed to have exorcised LaToya of all the malevolent entities plaguing her.
Nice.
Yep, he just went back there and went, Kobe,
boom,
the fucking crucifix into her pussy. The demons ran out of her mouth, and it was just, whew, man, incredible day.
Isn't
great Wednesday.
That something? Wow, he just did that. He just did
he
all
just
that.
He just did it, man. Mm-hmm.
By November, Amons had regained custody of her three children, and one of the family's caseworkers noted that the family no longer fixated solely on religion or the paranormal to explain or cope with the children's behavioral issues.
Yes. That seemed to have relaxed some of it.
Okay.
The last talk of you are all demon children.
That's good.
The family then moved to Indianapolis permanently and have not experienced any other hauntings. But after 2 years went by, the Indy Star heard about the haunting and published a story in 2014 that quickly gained nationwide attention. I remember we were briefly obsessed with this story. We showed it at our live show at the Creek.
Yes.
We showed the news report, the original news report.
Well, because it was creepy as fuck. It was the first time, because that original news report was very scary, because it's the first time you saw, like, it was like an anonymous cop being like, yeah, I saw demons and I know the demons are real. And that's just something about like a voice modified person is also extra scary.
Half of the homicides unsolved.
Hey, man, they're in the microfiche. They're doing all sorts of shit for this, man.
Well, nothing else to work on in Gary.
Well, as we've said, Zach Bagans bought the house that same year for $35,000. And after making his documentary, he very dramatically decided to tear it down for the good of all mankind.
Oh.
So unfortunately, the extent of the investigation will forever remain of the ghost bro variety.
I did like he did an interview with two cops that he was talking to, and they remained anonymous. But one of them's been like, I don't know if you should knock this house down, man, because if that's the portal to hell, what's the house plugging up?
That is just fantastic. Half of the homicides are unsolved.
But it's like, if you knocked on the house, the truth, I was like, if that was the portal to hell, that's Ghostbusters, like, 2. That's Ghostbusters 2.
I'm going to say it's not.
Interesting.
Yeah,
bit of a debunker, I see.
I think the little
man in your butt right now is filling you with lies, and you'll say anything possible for you to wrap up the show so you can continue to go and have diarrhea in your home.
And you know what? I'm not going to let you do that. I'm going to go ahead and continue and say that he tore it down in 2016. Remember, the world kind of started going to shit right around 2016. What if it was plugging shit up and then it fucking... And now, that's why everything's been fucked for the last 7 years, six years, because the port of hell is fucking open, bro.
These fucking guys showed
absolutely
up, and now we're
fucked.
Look at this.
Totally reasonable. Yeah. Totally reasonable.
What was that? So David Bowie dying. David Bowie died, he was fucking plugging it up, and then this was plugging it up. They were plugging up two sides of the earth, and now
plugs.
It's all fucked.
Yeah.
Plugs.
Well, why did they couldn't put something over it again? What is it there now?
You know who would fit perfectly in that hole?
What?
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
We
put
just
him in there.
Put his tomato-shaped body into the hole.
Oh.
He just has to sacrifice himself for the good of
humanity. He would. That's just that's the kind of guy he is.
Well, all we'll ever have now is the testimony of those who experienced the haunting. However, we actually know relatively little about the details. This should be a 2 or 3 part series. This is a fascinating story. But soon after the story broke, LaToya Amons sold the rights to the story and has refused to talk to anyone about it any further.
And I will advise our listeners to do exactly the same. If you get a chance, if Netflix shows up, with that fucking cargo truck full of money to buy your ghost story.
Oh yeah, that Netflix money that always that's going around.
It used to be. Well, you just take that money.
I mean, take some of the rights. Own at least 10%.
Always own yours. I don't know.
I don't know. This is a pretty good one-off. Netflix paid $65 million for the story.
Bro. And they moved to Indianapolis.
Well, I mean.
They didn't just go to Miami?
They got $65 million for this?
Well, that's the thing. I'm somewhat curious about this because Netflix paid $65 million for the story in a bidding war. So I think somebody bought the story from the Amens.
Yes.
For probably not that much money.
I can almost assure you that that is what happened. I said someone, a producer showed up, bought them for whatever he could get, and then he flipped it to various companies by putting it in a pitch deck and the whole time. And they made the money.
Yeah. All right.
And the movie's in post-production. It's called The Deliverance, and it's directed by the guy who did Precious.
Oh.
It's got Omar Epps in it. Remember him?
Oh, love him.
I love Omar.
Do you remember when he followed everyone on Twitter?
Uh-huh.
That was the only good day on that website.
Well, that's fun. And that movie's probably going to come out next year. It's in post-production.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll be great.
But hopefully, once the movie is released, LaToya Amens, and specifically her children, might open up a little more as to what really happened in Gary, Indiana in 2014. Because while it certainly may be the case that this house simply sits atop a toxic waste area that puts the pipes of Flint, Michigan to shame, it is also possible that something truly paranormal made itself known at 3860 Carolina Street.
Cool.
Another Halloween tale. And it is almost as scary as the gastrointestinal problems. Benjamin Gissel.
Absolutely. That's the real story today. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
I do. I again, it's nice to be back in ghost territory. We're going to be doing more of these.
This wasn't a ghost, my friend.
It was a demon. But it's just so good. It's good to get spooky.
Absolutely.
We're back in America. Marcus is alive, as you can hear.
As you can hear.
Gissel's.
Barely, about 90%, or 70, 80% alive. 70,
you're 100% alive.
He's 100% alive, 80% hard.
I learned that you're never dying. You are dead when you're dead. But you're not. A nurse told me that.
Is that a little man inside of you?
No, you're not. No one's ever died. You're alive, and then you're dead.
What? Wow.
But no one's ever dying.
That's scary.
So why do we have that word? Why do we have the word dying if no one is ever dying?
I don't
dying?
Know, man. A nurse told me that, dude. She did.
She was just trying to make you feel. She was just trying to get you back to her hotel room. Was it that same woman when we were in Indianapolis the last time?
No, that old cougar?
Yeah.
No. God, that woman. There was a torrent affair that we witnessed firsthand because they both had wedding rings on, but they weren't with each other's wives
or
husbands.
No, they were slipping on each other.
Which we will be inside of soon.
Very soon. We got Grand Rapids in Indianapolis on the 18th and the 19th. We are also, want to put it out there, if you are in the Austin or Dallas area, check out the Release the Butthole Cut tour for Page 7 and Wizard and the Bruiser, 1117 in Austin and Elmos, and that I believe is at the Dallas Theater in Dallas on November 18th. Check it out. I think it's going to be a fun day.
Whiz Brew, Page 7, going on tour, trying to make a little bit of money for us.
Yeah, you could great. They put them on the stroll. Us.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Release the Butthole Cut, but now I see James Corden, and I'm thinking, really, do we need to see it?
I don't want to see his, no.
I don't want to see it. No. Mean, mean man. Okay,
but
everyone.
He is thank a you. Butthole.
He ain't got no butthole.
He is a butthole.
Yes,
that's what I said. He is a butthole.
Demons.
That's what I Demon. Said.
But you guys, hope you have a happy Halloween. Because you know what's the best part is that when Halloween's on a Monday, it means Halloween is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Absolutely.
So check it out. Go out there. Show your boobies if you're a man or a woman. Show everybody that you're the pumpkin nobody's going to fuck with this fucking year.
Absolutely. Have some candy. If you want it. Okay, everyone.
Really good.
Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Again.
Magustalations, everybody.
Hail me, man. All right, because Gary Bunda, he's just a cute, lovable demon. And it's like, again, new episodes of Your Pretty Face are going to hell. Cartoon version are on YouTube right now.
Fantastic.
Go check that out, all right? Because that's the only demon you need to trust. But guess what? Most of the time, we're bumbling halflings, right?
Demons.
We're demons. We're fun. We're funny.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.